We're back. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're here. And don't forget my website, Rentz.com, being hailed by more and more people. And we're very grateful for the kind comments as the number one place to start the day looking for news. News you won't find in the morning paper. And with the new CIA papers declassified, which indicate that, and you can read them on my website at Rentz.com, that in the 1960s, during the Bay of Pigs fiasco, the CIA then was instructing its top rank and file that it could at any time post and control the media and dissemination of news stories to the American people and, in fact, the Caribbean and the world via the wire services. And, Jordan, that was a long time ago. Just imagine how slick the machine is now.
You can bet on it. And, you know, even a lot of people have said to me, you know, all of this you talk about, it's clever and cute and it's interesting, but how does it really affect me in my everyday life? Well, it affects you far more than you ever even imagined. And people begin to perceive how it's affecting them when they walk into a courtroom, when you walk into a bank, when everything is very important, what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. And your life is on the line if you're before a jury for a capital crime. Now it's not funny or clever or interesting anymore. Now you better do your homework because you need to know what those words mean, and they don't mean the same thing that you think they do. If you look in the law dictionary, Ballantyne's Law Dictionary, look up the word human being. You want to talk about yourself being a human being? Look it up in Ballantyne's Law Dictionary. Look up the word human being. And it will tell you, C, monster. So then you go to Ballantyne's Law Dictionary and look up the word monster. It says it's like a human being. A monster is like a man or a woman, but It doesn't have the rights of a man or a woman. It's a human being. And the reason why is because when the Crusades were going on in Europe, all of the high influential knights of the Round Table were on their way to Jerusalem. They would father a lot of children back and forth as they crossed over the land. And consequently, their children would, of course, be officially the offspring of these knights, and they would therefore be able to inherit all the land from their father. So they passed a law that said that all the offspring of these knights that were in the Crusades were just going to be like humans. They were going to be like being human, but they're not really human, but they're going to be like being human. So they call them human beings. They're not really human in that they are actually little monsters that have been created, so they don't have the ability to inherit the king's land or any of his knights' land. You know, how many people, you take a letter today and you're going over to mail a letter at the post office? You're not mailing a letter at the post office. We don't have a post office. There's only five employees. In point of fact, lawfully, there are only five employees of the United States Post Office today, and they're in Washington, D.C., and they're only in name only. There is a large corporation that was incorporated, a privately owned company, by some people in England who set up a company, and they called it the United States Postal Service. But that's not the post office. It's called the United States Postal Service. And it was incorporated as a privately owned company. So when you go to what you think is the post office, you had better do your homework. You're going to a privately owned company. And that's why now you don't see the FBI pictures of all the criminals, because
they're not there. Business. The regulations are that they have to be kept on premises in a box, in a folder, whatever, but they are no longer forced to display them.
That's right. And because it's no longer a government agency, it's the United States Postal Service, which is a privately owned company.
And I tell you, if anybody's listening who agrees with me, don't email, but you can just hear it from here. I am really disappointed, I'm understating this, in the U.S. Postal Service's express mail service. They have lost, delayed, and misdirected more crucial documents over the years than I can count. They just did it two more times to me in the last month. And in the future, if I have anything that I really have to get somewhere, next day or second day, it's not going by express mail.
Nope.
I'll leave it at that, and I'm not a happy customer.
Let me salute all the, excuse me, I must do this.
That is not to denigrate the wonderful men and women working their hearts out to make the mail move. That isn't it. It's just that there is a real problem with express mail, and maybe some of you folks working in the system know it from the inside out. But anyway, that's my 2.5 cents. I will now withdraw.
Well, I have to second that, because we have in my company have all kinds of complaints calling us and saying, well, where are the materials you said you were going to send? You didn't send it. And here it is 2 weeks later. And I said, well, we send it out, for second
express
day.
Express mail, yeah.
And
yeah.
So we send them out another, assuming it didn't get there. So yeah. We send out new products, and then they call us 2 or 3 weeks later and say, oh, no, here it came today. It was express,
right.
But it took 3 weeks.
Yep, I know. Anyway, there's a problem there. So
anyway.
That's it.
So anyway, you walk into a court. Why do you have a fence in a court dividing the people from the judge?
About 3.5, 3 feet tall, 40 inches tall, something like that.
Yeah, well, but the point is, the judge sits up higher so he can look down on you, and you're sitting looking over the fence, looking up to the law. But
where
did you know that there's a fence
right.
there and a gate, and that fence and a gate is there for a reason? It's the same reason why when you walk in, especially Catholic churches, and you will find a fence dividing the altar from the audience, and that's the same reason why.
Okay.
Because churches operate under maritime admiralty law, the same as courts. And this is why priests wear black robes and judges wear black robes.
All right, tell our listeners what maritime admiralty law is, as opposed to constitutional law.
Well, there's actually two kinds of law on the earth. One is called Roman civil law. Civil law comes from the Latin word civili, meaning the people of God. The people's law. So in the people's law, or civilian law, is referred to as the law of the land. The law of the land, because that's where people live, is on land. That's the law of the land is civil law, and that's the law of the custom of the people of that country. So the law of the land is different everywhere in the world. You can do things in Africa you can't do in France. So it has to do with the law of the culture of the people. That's civil law. But the most important law in the whole world is maritime admiralty, and it's called the law of the high seas, or the law of money. The law of banking and money is referred to as the law of the high seas, the law of water. This is why you could not put the Statue of Liberty on land in the United States. It was it was against the law to put the Statue of Liberty on land. It had to be put in a harbor. It had to be put in water, because it's not the Statue of Freedom, it's the Statue of Liberty. Liberty is what a sailor gets when you pull in the port. You get liberty, which means you ask permission. Nobody gets freedom in America. You have liberty. This is why you have an American Civil Liberties Union, not a Civil Rights Union, because there is no such a thing. It's an oxymoron. You can't have a civil and a right. A right is something God gives you, not civil.
It is indeed an oxymoron, yes.
So therefore, and therefore, you've got the word Statue of Liberty implies that it is a maritime admiralty term. That's why the admiral of the Navy, and that's why if you're in the Navy, you get liberty. You have to ask permission. And therefore, maritime admiralty is the law of banking. It's the law of the cash flow, you know, the birth canal of cash flow, the money. And consequently, I'll give you an example. When a ship pulls into port, say, here in Los Angeles, and it pulls into port from, say, Japan with $100 million worth of Toyotas on it, it pulls up and parks at the dock, and where it sits is called its berth. It's called berthing a ship. And first thing the captain has to do once the ship is in its berth is present to the port authorities a certificate of manifest on each piece that's being brought into this country for sale.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because, first of all, banks are involved, money is changing hands, and it's coming in on water. So therefore, you have to have a certificate of manifest for each item coming in, whether it's a four-door, two-door, whether it has radio or not. And consequently, it's all operational under the banks. Money's changing hands, maritime admiralty. Has nothing to do with the culture of the people or civil law, banking law. This is why when you were born, your mother's water broke, and you came out of your mother's water, and therefore, by law, you are a maritime admiralty product. This is why you have to have a birth certificate signed by the dock. So that's where the ship hits, is at the dock. It's tied to the dock. So you have to have a birth certificate signed by the dock because you are a maritime admiralty product. You can be bought and sold on the New York Stock Exchange. You don't think so? When you find your birth certificate, if you can get your original one back, you'll see on the back of the birth certificate all the different countries in the world that have stamped their stamp on your birth certificate because you are a security on the stock exchange. There's a whole story here about how human bodies are bought and sold, and your body is the security for the body social. That's why you have social security.
Some people are actually able, I guess, through a lot of paperwork, to buy their freedom from this system. Are they not?
That's exactly right. All you got to do is, if you don't want to play the game anymore, you just fill out a UCC-1 form, a UCC-1 affidavit with a security agreement, and it's a lot of paperwork, but if you do it, then you get your birth certificate and your straw man certificate. Which, incidentally, that's a whole other story. Your birth certificate is connected to another certificate that you don't even know about. It's called your straw man certificate. This is why in The Wizard of Oz, the lion was, they were all going to see the wizard. They all needed something. The lion, who is normally courageous, had no courage. The tin man had no heart. The tin man was, of course, the tax identification number, which is government. So the Tin Man, that's why you had the rock group that sang the song, that rock song, I Never Gave Much to the Tin Man That He Didn't Already Have, meaning that whatever you paid to the tax man, he already owned you anyway through maritime law.
Stand by right there. We'll come back and finish The Wizard of Oz with Jordan Maxwell in just a minute. Jeff Rentz, that's RENSE.com. Actually, I wasn't born with that name, but sort of fits. Jordan Maxwell is my guest, second half of the program tonight, hearing some amazing things. I told you these words we use all the time have long strings of historical nature attached to many of them. Are we to really seriously assume that Frank L. Baum, when he wrote The Wizard of Oz, named the Tin Man? I mean, all these were analogous of various and sundry things we deal with. He was that heady of a writer?
I don't know. All I know is that the words and the terms all fit because
they sure do.
Because you've got the Tin Man that has no heart and he's carrying an axe. Anyone who knows
sounds like the IRS to me.
That's right. It's that's why you say when you get fired, you got the axe. And why? It's because the axe was always the symbol of government. It goes all the way back to the Phoenicians, Canaanites, Sumerians, Babylonians, Egyptians, the Greeks, and the Romans. The axe.
Well, I remember that old expression, Jordan, ask me no questions, I tell you no lies.
That's it. And, you got the axe. Let me put you on the spot. You know what the word, do you know what a fascist is? Spell F-A-S-C-E-S, fascist.
Because we've been friends for so many years, yes, I do, but our listeners, many of them do not.
Okay, the word fascist comes, and we got our word fascism from the Roman word fascis, which is spelled F-A-S-C-E-S. It is a bundle of rods. It's a bundle of sticks tied with a hatchet head protruding from the top. And you will see the symbol of the fascis on both sides of the president's or the podium where the president stands to give his State of the Union message. You will see it almost every day on television or every night on the news. The next time you see the room where the Senate and the Congress meet, look on both sides of the podium and you will see a large, maybe 8 foot high fasci on both sides of the speaker's podium. Those are Roman symbols of world fascism on both sides of the president. Now, why do we have fascist symbols for the President of the United States to stand between giving his State of the Union? It's the same reason why you have a dome on the Capitol. Because in ancient Rome, the seat of power in the ancient Roman Empire under the Caesars was referred to as the hill. And you always went up on what was called the Capitoline Hill. You went up on the hill. And Caesar ruled from, quote, up on the hill, end quote. Today, we still have people playing God up on the hill with the world fascist symbols on both sides of the President of the United States. Why? It's because the symbol for fascism, the reason why, this is absolutely astounding when you start breaking down the words and terms and what they mean. Most people do not realize that the word United States is not referring to the country that we live in. This country is not called the United States. The country is called America. But there was a corporation incorporated, a privately owned company incorporated back in the 1860s, and it was called, and anyone who set up a corporation could pick a name for it. Well, they picked the name United States Company. And consequently, the United States Company operates in the country called America, just like Ford Motor Company of Detroit. Well, this is the United States of America. And consequently, United States is a privately owned company, and it is operating on the basis of international maritime law. And people have no idea. They drive by in Washington, D.C., and they see the big dome on the Capitol and have no idea in the world why you go up on the Capitol Hill, and then you see the Roman Senate. We are under Roman law. We are under fascist Roman law in America, and we don't even know it. We haven't got the faintest idea in the world what these words mean, where they come from, and of course it's not important because it has zero nothing to do with basketball or football. It has nothing to do with
or Miller time.
It's just incredible. Yeah.
Okay, who knows about this, Jordan, beside you and others who spend time in pursuit of reality? Do judges know about this, or do they just kind of go
along? I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Political minds like judges, they are many things, but stupid is not one of them. They know.
Be right back with Jordan Maxwell, and his website, again, available right below his name at the top of my website, rents.com. To Jordan Maxwell. You learn so much, it just, your head kind of spins a little bit. If you want to call in and ask a question, you can. It's 1-800-876-4123, as usual, 1-800-876-4123. Jordan's website, full of lots of remarkable data, is linked right below his name. It is very simply BBC...
O-A.
O-A.
Dot com.
It's BBC O-A dot com. That's it.
Right.
All right.
Now...
go ahead.
Why do attorneys need to get a license to practice law? A license is a permit to do something that without that permit would be unlawful, illegal. So why do you have to have a marriage license? Why do you have to have a license to practice law?
Drive a car.
Or to drive a car. Why? Why? Well, the reason why a lawyer needs a license to practice law is because he uses something called a law book, and all books are copyrighted. So consequently, the books which have been written that he reads and studies are copyrighted. And therefore, all laws in those books are copyrighted. And if you're going to use anybody's material, written material, music, or anything else, to make money and engage in commercial pursuit, then you have to get a permission from the person who wrote the music or wrote the book. And mm-hmm. you get express written permission and pay them a fee for using their intellectual property. So therefore, all law books are copyrighted. And all American laws, federal, state, county, all laws in America are copyrighted out of Canada. There are five major companies that do copywriting of American laws for England. England is the progenitor of all American laws, and they're copyrighted in Canada. Therefore, if you're going to be an American using English law books, you're going to have to, you're going to have to pay for the right to make money in a court practicing law because you're using the law books which are copyrighted.
Got it.
And consequently, most people don't know that all American laws are copyrighted out of Canada. I mean, what does
amazing.
That mean? Well, amazing. God, that'll knock you over if you start finding out things like that, that yeah. all of our laws are dictated out of England. We didn't win any war. We're still under the Queen. And, any bill, any official bill that you get from anyone or any official letter, like a lawsuit or a subpoena to court, anything which is official, that comes to you as a bill from the Internal Revenue, Sears and Roebuck, it doesn't matter. If it's an official bill or an official letter, for whatever reason, your name will always appear in all capital letters. Most people have never noticed that. Why does your name appear in all capital letters on identification and all official letters? When you write your name, according to English tradition, you write your name upper and lower case. But in all business in America, your name must, if it's a business of any kind, sending you a bill or any kind of an official letter, it must be in all capital letters, your name. Why? It's the same reason why people who are buried in a cemetery, their tombstones have all capital letters. Basically, it means because of maritime admiralty law, you are a dead man. You're totally dead. This is why when you walk into court, you have to have an attorney who stands and talks to the judge for you, because you are an idiot, first, according to the law, and second, you're a dead man because you don't have a leg to stand on. Because your name is in all capital letters, it means you're dead, like on a tombstone. You are totally dead. You have no rights. You have nothing to say. You have nothing. You just sit quiet because you're a dead man. Now, in order to change that, you can change that and make your name upper and lower case, and now the court has no control over you at all. They have no jurisdiction and cannot deal with you at all. And you can demand that all documents and bills be sent to you in upper and lower case, and they cannot do that. They can only subpoena you to court. They can only put you in jail. They can only fine you. They can only sue you. They can only touch you if your name is in all capital letters, because it means you're dead. And in point of fact, you're not dead. You're standing there, so you're not dead. All you need to do is do a little paperwork and a little homework, and you'll find out that there's no way in the world that the government can touch you as long as your name is all upper and lower case and not all capital letters. And there's a simple way to do that. It's very simple. All you got to do is file papers with the UCC, UCC papers, and now you are totally owning yourself instead of the government owning you. It's a fascinating story about how we have been betrayed. We don't even know what these words mean. We don't know why it is we walk into court and we have, quote, no standing in law. Why? Because most cemeteries don't have people standing up and talking to you. Why? Because
no,
they're dead.
No, they sure don't. Yeah. All right. Let's grab a quick call for the amazing Jordan Maxwell from Justin in Portland, listening on KOTK. Hi, Justin.
Hi there. I was just going to ask what Jordan thinks about this. In Portland, Oregon, the county courthouse is like a five-story building, and from the second to the fifth story on up is where all the district criminal courts are at. Well, from the second floor on the outside are all these little fascist swastikas on the outside. They're kind of intermingled. You can't see them unless you look really close at them. There's just all these fascist swastikas symbols out there. And then above that on the fifth floor on the outside are all these lion's heads. And I was just wondering what he might think about that.
Okay. What about the symbols on the building, Jordan?
That's the story of symbols. Most people walk right by corporate symbols and emblems and never question why you have swastikas on buildings. And, you know, that's
what do the lion's heads mean? Anything in particular?
Yeah, that
royalty
goes back,
in England?
Yeah,
royal
that goes,
family?
Well, that goes back to England. And, of course, the crown colonies or crown, the word crown goes back to England. It has to do with astrology. It has to do with the constellation of Leo the lion. And the lion was also a symbol in England for power, and it's an astrological symbol. And, of course, we could get into astrology, and that's another fascinating story. I don't know. Many years ago, I was in an old bookstore, and I found three typewritten manuscripts by the same man, fairly thick manuscripts, falling apart. I picked them up, all three. This was the most astonishing stuff I had ever read in my life. It explained words and terms and symbols and why we have cities called what they're called. Why do we have national emblems and symbols like Russia has the bear? Why does America have the eagle? Why did Rome also have the eagle? Why do we have cities like Baltimore and Maryland? Why do we have cities like Los Angeles or the City of Angels? Why do you have cities like Belfast? Do you know what the word Belfast means? And so when you start looking at words and terms and symbols, and this book is just crammed filled with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you about that book.
Yeah, all right. What was the name of that book, real quickly?
The book is called The Priesthood of the Illies. Priesthood of the Illies, and it's on my website if you wish.
All right, stand by. We'll take a break, come right back. 1-800-876-4123 if you want to ask a question. Jordan and I will continue in just a few moments. Jordan Maxwell, let's grab another call or two from Northern California.
Can we, can I throw
go ahead,
in
Jordan.
One quick thought before I forget it? Before
sure,
we
go right ahead.
The phone.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make before, and I missed it in talking about government, is that when once a year when you have the State of the Union on television, the Speaker of the House says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States," and everyone applauds and everyone thinks it's wonderful.
Right.
But nobody seems to have realized, because nobody cares about such things, that the United States, the country is called America. United States is a privately owned company. And if you incorporate a company in this country, corporate laws say that you must have a president of the corporation. This is why the Speaker of the House does not say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of America," because America is a republic, and a republic do not have presidents. But Baskin Robbins and Union Oil and Bank of America and all other corporations and companies must have a president. That's corporate law. And it also is corporate law that you must have a vice president and a secretary treasurer of mm-hmm. your privately owned corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, this corporation is a privately owned operation which was taken public. It went public on the stock market. So now it is a publicly held corporation. And you, because you put your body into it, you are now stock in the corporation. And
yeah.
once a year, the president has to have a stockholders meeting in which he will tell you how the corporation is doing. So when you see the president...
State of the Union.
When you see the president... Just understand he's the president of a privately owned company called mm-hmm. United States. He's not president of America. Okay?
Very good. All right. Well said. Perfectly explained. And let's take that call now. Listening on KSRO, Avery. Hello, Avery. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. And it's a pleasure to hear information on your show and then see it in the newspaper a few days later.
That's always fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
We like that, too.
Yes. Now, walking in, speaking of swastikas, try walking into a courtroom with the black robe of a Buddhist, Zen Buddhist monk and standing up in support of someone saying, that's a lie. And the judge's response is just a look.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that, would they, Jordan?
As a matter of fact, are you aware, Jeff, that when someone, official, you go into Sears and Roebuck to ask for a credit card or anything, you walk into any kind of a business, and especially in a court, and they pull out this pad and they want to get your information, and they will say to you, oh, yes, sir, we can help you. Give me your name. Do you realize that under international maritime law, what the word and the terms, give me your name? I would always say, no, I do not give you my name. I will tell you my name. But under law, under international law says when you are asked to, quote, give me your name, end quote, means to turn over your sovereignty of your body to me.
Oh, really?
So that when I make a contract with you, I am the primary contractor in any contract. So anything that you are doing, when I say give me your name, that means give me sovereignty over you. No. You say I will tell you my name, but I will not give you my name. Little things like this, you never saw it coming. It's little small things that mean a lot if you don't know and you haven't done your homework.
Wow. That's another eye-opener. Avery, are you still there or did Avery drop off? Okay. Pete, it's your turn. Also from Occidental, California. Hello, Pete. Welcome.
Hi. I had a
Right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I had a couple of questions for your guests, but the first one I wanted to ask you was... You had a guest on earlier that was talking about that club at Harvard.
Oh, Skull and Bones?
Yeah.
Not tonight, but you mean in programs past?
I've heard something about it, yeah.
Oh, we've done a lot of Skull and Bones over the years. Sure,
okay.
Jordan knows all about that, too. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, he talked about UCC One Form.
Yeah.
And also the UCC about the
security
to do with the upper and lowercase letters.
Yes.
Could he give me a little more information about the what is the UCC to start with?
It stands for Uniform Commercial Code, the international banking code of money worldwide called the Uniform Commercial Code. This is why if you're in the military, if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're a fireman, if you're a policeman, everyone wears a, quote, uniform, end quote, because it's you're under governmental supervision, which is Uniform Commercial Code.
Therefore,
there's a dress code, and that's why you're in a uniform, and everybody has to be very uniform. It's a fascinating study of the world between civil law, which is a law of the land, and maritime admiralty, which is Uniform Commercial Code, which is the law of international banking. Go on my website and read all about it.
Okay, well, I don't have a computer, but how do I get...
Give me a call. Give me a phone call, and I will tell you exactly how to get the book. We have a book called Cracking the Code, and I'll tell you how to get that.
Okay, and what's your number?
The phone number here is 818. I'm in Los Angeles. It's 818-757. 818-757-7123.
Okay, great.
And just ask for the information on Uniform Commercial Code. We'll tell you all about it, or you can go to the library and get a computer and bring up BBCOA. It's all one word, BBCOA.com.
Don't forget those libraries, folks. They're amazing assets.
Look at, you know something, Jeff? If you go into the library, the most important set of books you will ever see is something called the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. It's a huge voluminous set, big, huge voluminous set, Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. And it tells you every single word that's in the English language ever, all the way back to day one, and what it really meant, where it really came from, how it got here, what it meant in the 1600s, what it meant in the 1900s, what it means today, where it came from. Fascinating set of books, Oxford.
All right, really. Should the worst? We've got a call here.
That's Oxford what?
Oxford, like the Oxford University in England. It's called the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. It's about 20 volumes of every word that's ever been used in English and where it really came from and what it really means. That it will startle you when you find out.
All right, Pete, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You betcha. I've got a caller with a question here, Jordan. It has to do with the word atheist and ADEIST.
ADEIST, yeah. Yes, ADEIST is what most of the founding fathers were. They were deist.
Right, as in
is
deity.
Now, the word atheist in Greek, anytime you're going the opposite direction on any subject, you put an A in front of the word, and it means the opposite of that word. An A in front of anything in Greek means the opposite. So a theist is one who believes in God, and therefore going the other way, if you don't believe, you put an A in front of it, it becomes atheist. And the word deist in Latin simply means one who believes in a divine presence, a divine matrix in the universe. It doesn't mean it's God, or it doesn't mean anything particularly. You just you just acknowledge that there is something over all of us, but you're not sure exactly what it is, but you acknowledge it, so therefore you're a deist. Now, incidentally, I can give you a quick thumbnail as to the difference between theology and mythology.
Okay, we've got a minute and a half.
Okay. Theology is what you believe in God and what you believe, and mythology is what your friends across the street believe. Because, obviously he doesn't believe what you do, so therefore he must be in mythology and you've got the truth. Again, let me give my website. It's www.bbcoa.com, and my phone number is 818-757-7123. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we'll call you back if we miss your call. And I want to thank Jeff, my dear friend, for having me on. Always a pleasure, and it's the only time I get a chance to talk to my friend because we're both so busy. But
I very much
enjoy being with you.
Would you come back here in maybe a week or two?
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely.
Let's try and get you back on Wednesday, April the 11th.
Okay.
If that fits your schedule.
I think so. That'll be all right.
We'll write it in. And you've intrigued a lot of people. Next time Jordan comes back, we'll open the phones a little earlier and allow some of you to call in with your questions about symbols and language and what those words really mean. Thanks again, Jordan. Take good care.
Thank you,
Jeff. Bye-bye. Good night. Jordan Maxwell, and his website, again, is BBCOA, real simple. And go there. Take a look. It's not only fun, it's a little frightening, actually. That's our program tonight. Going to take a 21-hour respite and keep right on working. But I'll be back tomorrow night again, same time, same stations, coast to coast, with another 3 hours of outstanding information for you as we do our monthly UFO BC report with Graham Conway and friends. And we'll have a look at the latest in EMF protection on a personal level tomorrow night. See you then.